We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Praise the Lord, everybody. My name is Chris Fluitt, and you are at Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. Thank you, everybody, for joining us online. We love all of you online folks, and we love everybody in the room, our in-the-room folks. Y'all are all part of the body of Christ, and we welcome you all to Redemption Church today. God bless you. Please turn in Scripture to the words of Jesus in John chapter 5, verse 24. John 5, 24. We've been talking about Jesus coming back to life. And too often we relegate the resurrection story to the Easter holiday weekend. The resurrection story of Jesus is powerful enough to be lived out all 365 days a year, 24/7, all the time and forever. Somebody say, that's my Jesus.
That's my Jesus.
That's my resurrected Savior.
Yes, that's my resurrected
Amen.
Savior.
And we are going to try our best to do better at living out the resurrection of our Lord.
Amen.
John chapter 5, verse 24. If you're there, say, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. I want to talk to you today about the crossover. Can you say the crossover?
Crossover.
We just read Jesus' use of that phrase, the crossover. He said you crossed over from what?
Death
to life. The idea of crossing should make us think of an important landmark in Scripture. If you've read through your Bible, when we talk about crossing over, it takes us to one very important landmark story in your Bible. Is your mind racing? Have you found it? Yet? No, it's not David and Goliath.
Nope.
That's a good one, but it's not Daniel and the lion's den. Nope. In fact, it has to do with water being parted, but it's probably not the one you're thinking about. Happened more than once.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that story today. The children of Israel were instructed to cross over the Jordan River. Everyone say the Jordan River.
The Jordan River.
I'll read it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 3, 18. I command you at this time, the Lord your God has given you this land to take possession of, but all your able-bodied men armed for battle must cross over ahead of the other Israelites. So, let's make sure we understand the story. Here's just a little background. The children of Israel had been slaves in what country?
Egypt.
And God enlisted a man named Moses to deliver the people from slavery and have them not just be free from slavery, but to return to the land God promised their father, Abraham. And this land is known to us as the nation of
Israel.
Is Israel still a nation?
Yes.
Yeah. Real aside, real quick. The number one easy proof that the Bible is true is found in your newspaper.
Yes, it is.
The fact that there is a nation called Israel is absolute proof that, you should pay attention to your Bible. All right. God puts how many plagues on Egypt?
Ten.
And Israel is set free. But on their way out of Egypt, they are trapped at the
Red Sea.
And they have the Red Sea in front of them. They have mountains beside them. And then behind them, they have the Egyptian army and the Pharaoh. They're on their chariots and they are coming to have tea and crumpets.
No,
they are coming not to enslave them again, but to kill them. All right. And then God, he does what? He parts the Red Sea and they walk through on what kind of ground?
Dry ground.
Somebody's read their Bible. I love it. And then Israel, on the other side of the Red Sea, struggles for 40 years in the wilderness until God brings them to the edge of the promised land. Right. One step, and they are in the promised land. They are right there. But instead of crossing over into the promised land, like the Lord had commanded them to do, like the Lord wanted them to do, instead, they thought, we have a better idea. God, let us help you with your plan. And so they thought, you know, we really need to come together with the team and have them think about this and think about all the ins and outs and come up with a strategy and maybe a marketing plan while we're at it. So we'll put 12 guys together and we'll have them go undercover into the land and they'll spy it out for us and they'll let us know what we should do. So what happens? 10 of the 12 spies come back and says, we can't do it. They are like giants over there and we are like just fleas. We are grasshoppers, he says. We are tiny, tiny, tiny compared to the land and the people in the land. So guess what Israel gets to do? They get to spend another 40 years wandering around the wilderness. And when you look in your Bible, you go to the map section. There's a map probably in your Bible that shows their wilderness journey. And you're like, they could have just gone right there. And it's like, woo, whoop, 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 come up to the edge. Woo, and they do it all over again. It's in your Bible. That's in the maps. You could read your map section sometimes.
Yeah.
So they spend another 40 years in the wilderness until God brings them where? Brings them once again to the edge of the nation of their promised land.
Yes.
Brings them right to the Jordan River. Now, by the way, during that 40 years, the unbelieving generation that said, we can't take it, they all died. Okay? The ones that believed, the two spies, by the way, are the only ones from that generation to get to cross into the promised land. Any bonus points in heaven if you know their names? Joshua and Caleb. Good job. I was kidding about the bonus points though. Don't hold that against me. Like you need bonus points in heaven, right, Charles? God brings them to the Jordan River. Now I want you to picture in your head what the map of Israel looks like. Who knows on what side of Israel is the Jordan River? It is on the east side. In fact, it is the Jordan River that makes up that boundary. In fact, do you know Israel's on this side of the Jordan River? Do you know what's on the other side of the Jordan River?
Jordan.
Very good. The nation of Jordan. All right. So, God brings them to what side of Israel? The eastern side. We'll get right back to that in a second. The Jordan River. And at this Jordan River, here under the leadership of Joshua, and with the Ark of the Covenant that represents the presence of God before them, this time they crossed over. And our Jesus tells us about crossing over ourselves. We too need to cross over. And let me tell you, if you do not cross over, you will get to do the loop-de-loops in the desert wilderness. Also, anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
God has something for you to do.
Jesus.
And you're like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to do that. Well, God will just let you just wander around, meander, not have the success you've looked for. And then he will bring you back right where? To the very thing. This is a thing you need to learn about in God. If you fail the test, that's okay, but you're going to have to take it again. God has tests for you to go through. He wants you to learn things. And if you don't learn those things, if you don't walk in those things, he will bring you right back around a long time later, maybe,
Yes. But
to face the same situation and to learn from your mistakes and to grow and to finally cross over. That takes some discipline. And there have been too many Christians living out in the wilderness when they should have been in the promised land already. The crossing over Jesus speaks about is from death to life. I would tell you that the crossing over at the Jordan River is also a crossover from death to life. That desert wilderness was unsustainable for them. It had no future for them. It had no promise for them. How did they live? They literally lived by a miracle every day. They had miracle every day. That's how they ate. They had miracle every day. That's how they drank water. Where'd their clothes come from? That was also a miracle. Their miracle of their clothes never wearing out. Their shoes never wearing out. How did they know where to go? Well, there was a pillar of fire in front of them at night. And there was a glory cloud in the day. Everything they experienced in the desert was a miracle. But listen to this. You don't want to stay in the wilderness. Every bit of that was to help them survive. I look back on some times in my life where they were covered in miracles, those times in my life. And I will foolishly sometimes, why can't I go back to that place? And the Lord sometimes will say, are you kidding? You were barely making it. Now you are in something I've given you, and now you're managing it, and now you're having success. And you don't need a miracle every waking moment of your day to survive. That is not a preaching against miracles. But sometimes we look at everything completely wrong. You're never supposed to go back to the wilderness, y'all. You're supposed to cross over. God has a promise for all of us. And it is essential that we cross over into His promise. I want to teach you four things. Everybody said four. Four things about the crossover today. The crossover is a place of inconvenience. It's a place of inconvenience. Do you know where that River Jordan is? It's on what side of Israel?
East.
It's on the eastern side. If you read the Bible, the Jordan shows up in many important stories. So you may be familiar with the name of the Jordan, but unfamiliar with its location. The Jordan River is the eastern boundary of the nation of Israel. It was this boundary in the time of the Old Testament, and it is that boundary in the time of the New Testament. It is that boundary still today. So the children of Israel were traveling from what country?
Egypt.
Now, I'm sorry to have all geography tests for you today. But what direction is Egypt from Israel?
West.
You get it?
Yes.
So they are traveling from the west. Okay. Now, if they are traveling from the west, then why did they end up on the eastern border? It would have been quicker to go in the western border. Does this make sense?
Yes.
This is how travel works. You're traveling from the west. You should enter through the west. You shouldn't have to drive around the state of Texas to enter it from Louisiana. Okay. It would have been much more direct. It would have been faster. It would have been perhaps an easier journey for them to have entered on the western side of Israel. Say amen if it's true.
Amen.
On the western side, there would have been no obstacle like a river to have to cross. So why did God do this? Why did God do this? Why did God make them walk all the way around the promised land to enter on the eastern border through the boundary of a rushing river? I want to tell you, it's because the crossover is a place of inconvenience. I think that God did all of this because He has something to teach us and to teach all of mankind about the crossover. God not only had the promised land as a destination, but He had also mapped out where He wanted them to cross over into their promise.
Right.
We get so focused on the promise There's the promise. Picture whatever your promise is from the Lord. And we're like, oh, quickest way is bam, right there. And God's like, that's not how I want you to get it. I want you to get it this way. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Abraham and Sarah is a perfect example of this. So they're supposed to have a child and they want it this way. So they try and they fail. And so then they're like, well, let's just have you sleep with your handmaiden. Let's go this way. And God never planned for them to do that. That was not God's plan. He wanted to take them a long around about way because he wanted them to enter through faith.
Yes, yes.
How many know that faith is not convenient? Faith can take you to some inconvenient places.
Yes.
I want to tell you, the crossover is a place of faith. The crossover is a place of inconvenience. Learn this. God not only has a planned final destination for you, but has also mapped out some of your battles, your obstacles, and your boundaries. God has already mapped out some of your battles, some of your obstacles, and some of your boundaries. And if you're anything like me, you'll agree with this. God, I've got a battle. Promise must not be true anymore. Anybody ever feel that way? God, there's an obstacle that I just can't climb over. Must mean the promise is no longer true. God, there's these boundaries. I just don't know if I can even squeeze through this boundary. And does that mean the promise is not true? I'm telling you, not only is the promise true, but the battle is true. That's right in front of you. The obstacle is true. That's right in front of you. And the boundary is right in front of you. God is not caught off guard. He's not surprised. He's already mapped it out. The crossover is a place of inconvenience. God will call you to places that make your journey a little longer. God will call you to a location that has obstacles. And then tell you, cross over your obstacle. God will bring you to a boundary that will cause you to walk by faith, not by sight. God's path will cause you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Somebody help me. And lean not on your own understanding. We make the mistake of believing if life is not easy, if it's not fun, if it's not happy, then we must be out of the will of God. Sometimes preachers will preach prosperity as a sign God is for you and loves you. I want to tell you that is not true. Even when the whole world is falling apart, God is still for you and he loves you. When you are told you've lost the job, God is still for you. He still loves you. When somebody disappoints you, God is still for you. He's not against you. When you have a flat tire, he's still for you. He's not against you. When your Longhorns somehow lose to Abilene Christian University in the first round, just wrecking your bracket, God is still for you. He's not against you. That was for someone in this room. I don't know who that was for. But it was for someone in this room. Book them. All right. Having fun here. I want to tell you this. Here's what you need to hear. All joking aside, if you are in a place of inconvenience, you may not be out of God's plan. You may not be out of his will. This might be exactly what he has mapped out for you. Guess what? If God has mapped this out for you, do you still want it? You're going to give up this easily, or you're going to keep going? Who's going to keep going? You might be at the right spot that God has marked out for your crossover. And it's so dangerous because you're like, this is so hard and this is so inconvenient. I'm going to almost run away from this. And you would be exactly running away from the wrong spot. You'd be running away from the exact thing that God has mapped out for you. God not only brings the Israelites out of the way and up to a rushing river during flooding season. Your Bible says it's during flooding season. So this is an inconvenient time. There are many times during the year, God, where we could just wade through this water very easily. But right now, it's spilling over its banks and it's rushing down the river. And we got to take kids through this. We got to take livestock through this. We have to somehow get the ark through this. Not only does God do this at inconvenient times, He brings them to enter inconveniently near the enemy of the city of Jericho, where they entered across that Jordan, was right in the face of the enemy. I got to tell you, sometimes God wants to use you to just get at the devil. He wants you to enter right at the devil's gate. He says, upon this rock I'll build my church, and I'll dare the gates of hell to come against it. That's what the devil, that's what the Lord does in the face of the devil. This city of Jericho was a city famed for its defenses and military might. And God brought a group of slaves who had never been known as an army to a place that is within striking distance of the strongest militarized city in that region. In your natural eye, that looks like a foolhardy plan. God, what a silly, awful plan. But it's not. It's a crossover. And it's inconvenient. But you watch the supernatural take place. You may feel like everything is going wrong in your life. Don't you dare give up. Your doctor may have told you the worst news, but don't you dare give up. Am I right, Charles?
That's right.
Oh my gosh. Charles told me a testimony on Thursday. Is okay I say it?
Right.
Oh, he just went to the doctor. He got some blood work done. He did some scans and said, they're like, where's this cancer gone? It's 50% shrunk. All the numbers are just heading towards just complete recovery from cancer. Can we give God a hand clap of praise? If your doctor tells you the worst news, don't you dare give up. You may have an enemy who is bigger, who is more trained and defended, breathing down your neck. But God is for you. Don't you dare give up. God is just taking you the long way around to your victory. God is just going to show you His ability to bring victory over the obstacle. God is just serving you up your greatest victory. That's what He is doing. The crossover is a place of inconvenience, and the crossover is a place of transition. Somebody say transition.
Transition.
Let's read this scripture again. Deuteronomy chapter 3, 8, 10. I commanded you at that time, the Lord your God has given you this land to take possession of it, but all your able-bodied men armed for battle must cross ahead, cross over ahead of the other Israelites. These slaves were wandering nomads in the desert wilderness. But when they crossed over, they became something else. They were no longer wanderers. They became land possessors. They became mighty warriors. They were no longer underdogs. They became top dogs. Somebody say top dogs.
Top dogs.
The crossover is a place of transition. It is at this same Jordan River where Elisha transitioned into a prophet with a double portion promise. He takes that mantle. He extends it. And that Jordan River parts. And he walks through on dry ground. Before, Elisha had been a farmer. Before, he just followed a prophet. He was in a prophet's apprentice, errand boy, or servant. But at the Jordan River, he crossed over. He transitioned. And he ended up having double the miracles of his predecessor, Elijah. Naaman was a leper who did not know the Lord, but he transitioned not on the first dip, Not on the second dip, the third dip, the fourth. What dip did he transition on? That seventh dip in what river?
Jordan.
The Jordan River. He came up healed with baby skin, soft skin, straight from the Lord. He was healed of his leprosy, a type of sin. And he gave honor to the Lord. It was a place of transition. The Jordan. Jesus himself steps into this Jordan River and was baptized by who?
John
the Baptist. And coming up out of the water, the voice of the Father rang out, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And Jesus's ministry crossed over at this very moment.
Yes.
His ministry was no longer the same. The way people looked at him was completely different.
Yeah.
Even Jesus crossed over at the Jordan River. Experiencing this moment, John the Baptist transitioned and declared, "I must decrease, Jesus must increase." Right there, a place of transition. The crossover is a place where you are changed. Not only will the situation change eventually, but you yourself are changed by the power of God. You cross over from death to life. Am I preaching to anybody who's ready for a transition? Are you ready to change? Are you ready to be mighty? Are you ready to be victorious? Are you ready to be a possessor of the promise? I love the promise of God, but I am ready to not just hear the promise of God, but to receive it, grab a hold of it, and live it.
Yes.
I'm ready to see it take place in my home, in my children, in my finances, in my health, in my city, in my church. I want to possess the promise. I'm telling you, you do not possess the promise by quoting the promise. Christian, it is so good to quote the Bible. It is so good to live it. But you could wander around the wilderness forever quoting the promise. There comes a time where you got to step on into the river, embrace the change, and then you can possess the promise. I want to tell you, your heart has to transition. Your mind has to transition. How you see yourself and think about yourself, it needs to transition. Your purpose and dreams must transition. Your habits and your lifestyle need to transition. The words we say, the things that we do that aren't pleasing, all of those things need to transition. What better place than the crossover? It was here. The other side of the Jordan, that God transitioned the hearts and the minds of the people. I'm sure this is going to be news to somebody here. In Joshua chapter 5, in the evening, the people celebrated Passover, having crossed over the Jordan River. That is Passover, looking forward to the coming promise of Jesus Christ, the Lamb. And they were also circumcised, a type and shadow of water baptism.
Yeah.
All of this takes place. It points us towards our New Testament relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And then, while they are celebrating this Passover, God speaks to them. In Joshua chapter 5, verse 9, he speaks, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Today, I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you.'" So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. Somebody say Gilgal.
Gilgal.
God transitioned them. Not just location. Not just emotional. Not just mentally. God transitioned them spiritually. The same the shame, the guilt, and reproach of being slaves in Egypt. Although they walked out of Egypt, they carried that shame. They carried the reproach. It was in their hearts. It was in their minds. It was in their spirits. It was in their self-image. It was in how they viewed each other. They went through a Red Sea, but they still carried that reproach. They saw miracle after miracle in the desert wilderness, but they still carried the guilt of what they have been and how they had fallen short. But at the crossover, God says, today, one of these days you're going to meet today. One of these days, God's going to say, today, I'm going to take all that guilt. Today, I'm going to do that thing I promised you. You've been holding on, hoping for it. Today is the day. It's a wonderful thing when God says today. You know what you do when He says today? You say, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely, I receive it. I receive it today. You can cross over today. God can roll away. He can Gilgal. It means to roll. He can roll away all your past regrets and sin. Not once a drug addict, always a drug addict. Not once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic.
No.
Not once a liar, always a liar. Once a cheater, always a cheater. Once a loser, always a loser. No. Let God take you to a crossover. And you will hear Him say, today, I am rolling away your reproach. A place called Gilgal, where He will roll it all away. I don't know what's haunting you in your past. I don't know what's taking away all your shame. But today, God wants a Gilgal. We could have a Gilgal right here in this altar today, where He rolls it away. If you've been feeling that anxiety from something you've done in the past, that fear, God wants to roll it away today. You're ready to cross over. The crossover is a place of inconvenience. The crossover is a place of transition. And the crossover is a place of descent. Somebody say, going down.
Going down.
The very name Jordan means to go down. It means descent, or a place that descends. The Jordan Valley forms the lowest part of Israel. Did you know this? That's why there's a river there. All the water goes to the lowest point. The Jordan River exists because it is so low. It meets at this lower place called the Jordan, and it continues to descend lower and lower, all the way to one of the lowest spots on earth. The Dead Sea. The Jordan flows into the Dead Sea. And the seashore of the Dead Sea is the lowest dry land spot on the earth. It is 1,300 feet below sea level. The crossover is not a place of pride. It's not a place of exaltation. The crossover is not the entry of a rich king. No, God chooses a low place for your crossover. God loves humility. James 4:10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. You see, the way up in God's crazy upside down kingdom is down.
Yeah.
You want to go up? You don't lift yourself up. You bow down before the Lord. You humble yourself before Him. And He will lift you up. In fact, the quickest way down is to try to lift yourself up. But the most powerful way to be lifted up is for the Lord Himself to lift you down. If the Lord's lifting you up, who can pull you down? Who indeed? God always chooses the humble and the lowly. And He resists the proud. Sound like a scripture?
Right.
It is. Moses and David They were shepherds. Jesus, a lowly carpenter. Disciples, they were fishermen. The low place makes for an excellent crossover. When I was at my lowest point, personal, when I was suicidal and had no peace, when I had given up, this is the place where I repented of all my pride and asked the Lord to be my Lord. And I crossed over that day and I've never looked back. Are you in a low spot today? Oh, then you're not very far from your Jordan crossover. I got some good news for you. You're in your low place today. You're like, woe is me. No, no, no. You just humble yourself in this low place and you watch what the Lord does in the place of the descent. Could it be that God has brought you to this place for your crossover? Embrace the descent. There's a part of worship that's completely foolish. Anybody ever feel foolish worshiping the Lord? Yeah, it's a foolish thing to be worshiping a guy that you can't even see in the room. Talking to him. Jumping up, being joyful, singing these psalms, weeping before the Lord. It's a foolish place. It brings you down low. Baby, that's exactly where you want to be. Embrace the descent. Humble yourself. He will lift you up. When you feel that pride come up inside you that says, no, you don't want to do that. Ackley's watching. Ackley will, you know, he'll think something about you if you're worshiping that way. Whatever that fear. You're fearful about what other people think. Those little voices that come up inside you. You need to crucify those things. Yeah. You need to just humble yourself right then. There was a guy named David. The king of Israel. And his wife. Michael. She told him, don't you dare worship like that. You're looking like a fool. And David said, you're absolutely right. How silly of me. Not at all. David said, oh, you haven't seen nothing yet. I become even more reviled that his glory would be lifted up higher. I'll be even a bigger fool. I'll be the biggest fool of the entire kingdom and dance before the Lord. You got to do that. Embrace the descent. Last, the crossover. It's a place of victory and miracle. Sound good to anybody? Does anybody want a miracle? Are we in a church that believes in miracles? We in the right place today? Does anybody want victories? My goodness. Then you should cross over. During the crossover, God worked miracles. Like while it was happening. As soon as the priests, they're carrying the Ark of the Covenant. It's on these staves, on these poles, and they're carrying it. There's four of them carrying the Ark of the Covenant. As soon as they reached the edge of the Jordan River, this happened. Joshua chapter 3, verse 15. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up. Why don't you picture piling up water? Hey, can you pile the water over there? Anybody pile up water? I can pile up a lot of things, but like God, my college days, I would have this trash can and I would not want to take the trash out. So I was really good at piling up all the trash on top of it. So it wouldn't fall over. It was just resistant. You can pile up a lot of stuff, but you cannot pile up water. But here it piles up. The water piled up in a heap. A great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. God worked a miracle.
Yes.
And they crossed over on dry ground. I also want to point out this is a brand new generation except for two people.
Yeah.
Everyone else had just heard the story about what the Holy Spirit. They had only heard the story about what happened at the Red Sea. They heard about it, but let's face it, that's kind of hard to believe. But a new generation is introduced to the power of God.
Yes.
When he piles up water and they walk through on dry ground. Listen to me. You've seen miracles. God wants you to see them again. And he wants a brand new generation to see the miracles.
Right.
I'm telling you, the same miracles that took place when Jesus walked on the earth. It's time for a new generation to see those miracles.
Yes.
Believer, it is time for us to see the miracles that you saw growing up.
Yes.
It's time for us to see the outpouring of the Spirit and the revival that you saw when you were young.
Yes.
It's time for a new generation to see it.
Yes.
That is what the crossover will do. And it piles up, right? All the way back to a town called Adam. Now, I can't help but think that that's a little symbolic.
Yeah.
Does anybody recognize the name Adam?
Yeah.
Adam is the first dude.
Yeah.
Right? I want to tell you that God's crossover promise reaches all the way past you. And it piles up all the way past you. It heaps up all the way past you. And all the way back to the first man, Adam. Because that's where the promises are made.
Yeah.
My goodness. If Adam were here today, he would tell you to cross over from death to life. If Joshua were here today, he would tell you to not even think about staying on this side of the Jordan for a moment longer. Walk through, see the miracles. Walk through, see the victories. You will feel very different after you crossover. Anybody have a crossover experience with the Lord and you felt completely different? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for those moments. We want those moments, God. Show. Lord, bring those moments right into our midst today. You will feel different after the crossover, but can I tell you something? Tria, your enemy is going to feel different about you after your crossover. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Joshua chapter 5 verse 1. Look at this. Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted. Whose hearts? These evil kings, their hearts melted in fear, and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. We talked about that transition. Israel had their shame and reproach rolled away. But I want to tell you, you have a transition also in the very eyes of your enemies. You already have the victory before you even show up to the battlefield.
All right.
Because you crossed over, and you crossed over exactly where the Lord wanted to, you to cross over, and exactly the time he wanted you to cross over. Your enemy hopes you don't cross over today. Your enemy hopes that you stay on the other side of your darkness, your disappointment, your weakness, your guilt, and your shame. The devil's heart, if he had one, will melt in fear when you cross over. The enemies you fight will suddenly seem to lose all their courage. But you have got to cross over. Joshua and Israel went on to what city? They went on to the city of Jericho, where they won that victory. The Lord told them to walk around the walls of that great city as they shouted their worship to God. After being obedient to Him, they began to worship the Lord. They shouted a voice of victory, and God caused the walls of that city to shake, and they fell to the ground. It was a miracle.
Yes.
And it was a victory.
Amen.
And it all happened after the crossover.
Right.
They would have never seen that victory on the eastern side of the Jordan River. The crossover is a place of miracles. It's a place of victory. Are there any witnesses in this room of God's miracle power? Of God's victory? Is there anyone here who's crossed over into Jesus and seen those miracles and victories? Can we stand to our feet if that's you? I'm talking, you look around the room. If you're needing a miracle and a victory, look around in this room. Though you are in a place that has seen it,
yes,
has experienced it. And now look around at somebody, tell them you can have it too. You can have it too. God wants it for you too. He wants it for you too. You may be seated. Thank you so much. In a moment, we're going to cross over. We're going to cross over into a time of prayer. We're going to cross over in a time of worship. I believe we're going to cross over into His presence and see the Lord move on our behalf. I want you to boldly cross over today. I want to see you have your miracle and to have your victory. I started the sermon with an unexpected video, right?
Yeah.
Everybody remember that? There's a video of a dog named Benji was his name, right? This dog was lost. This dog was in poor health.
Yeah.
Its hair was so matted, it's hard for it to see where it was going. It was hard to even tell that it was a dog.
Yeah.
It was covered in fleas. And it was malnourished. This dog lived on the streets, but it was dying.
Yes.
It was going to die on the streets. But somehow, someone saw this dog. And their heart was moved to rescue the dog named Benji. And they tried to help the dog. Do you remember this part?
Yeah.
And they showed the clip of them catching the dog. They tried to help the dog, but Benji fought them. They ended up catching the dog in a snare, and the dog screamed like it was dying, didn't it?
Yeah.
It was a sad sound. Nobody liked hearing that sound. It was screaming like this was the worst thing that had ever happened to it.
Yeah.
It was screaming like, you are hurting me. It was resisting with all the power it had inside to resist being rescued. The dog lashed out at the very ones who wanted to help and free the dog from the life that was going to destroy it. Benji needed a crossover, didn't he? But he fought it every step of the way. We are a lot like Benji, aren't we? God has so much better for us, but we fight Him. We fight His word. We find ways to justify ourselves and say, no. That was the Old Testament. Or that was the New Testament. That didn't make sense. But they just do that. But He fought Benji every step of the way. And we too fight every step of the way. The Israelites in the wilderness, they fought the plan of God every step of the way. They would literally eat the miracle manna from heaven and then in between bites complain about God. We pull, like Benji pulled, against God's conviction. We resist His will. We lash out. Even now, you just heard the word of God about a better life for you. But I guarantee you it happens every time we gather and get to this point. That there is something inside of you that also resists. About to come to that altar. I'm going to resist that. Resist the crossover that God has for you today. It happens. I see it in people. I see it. I see it so much. There have been times I've come up to people and you would ask them, is there anything I can pray with you about? They look shocked, like, you know, they're standing there. You kind of walk up beside, I guess I scare them. This face, I don't know. But I remember once I say, I've never been able to forget this. I'm like, is there anything I can pray with you about? And that person said, oh, no, no, no. I received the love of the Lord so many years ago. That was it. Like, I'm not saying the Lord doesn't love you. I wasn't saying that. I was asking, is there anything you need? Are you telling me you haven't crossed over since you received the Lord, the Lord's love 40 years ago? Have you not had a crossover moment since then? Do you don't want, of course I didn't say these things, but these are the things that show up at the crossover. It's dangerous over there in that promised land. We don't know what's over there in that promised land. I know what's over here. Push, resist, the very promise of God. But you saw the rest of that story about Benji, didn't you? Oh, you saw and you felt good about it when he got that bath. When they cut off all that hair. And you're like, my gosh, there's a dog under there. You talk about born again experience. That dog was a dog. A brand new dog under there. You saw that tail start to wag. You saw Benji given a brand new life. Benji now had friends. He had dog friends at the end of that video. And he received physical healing. He received emotional healing. And perhaps on some level that dog received spiritual healing. Benji crossed over. Now I got to ask you, do you think Benji at the end of the video would ever want to go back to the streets? Would ever want to go back to that life? And be the dog he was in the beginning of that video. I would tell you, no way. Even a dumb dog would know better than that. Do we know better than that? Right now, at this moment, what side of the Jordan are you on? Have you crossed over? But are you looking back? Are you resisting the crossover right now? That God's promised you? Are you tempted to go from life back to death? Are you tempted to walk back across the crossover? I want us to talk to the Lord today. I don't need to say another thing. It's what you need to say that matters right now. Why don't you come? Why don't you talk to the Lord in this place? Why don't you?
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.